Look, it might go without saying, but of course NASA, and yes, I do mean that NASA, not something different. We are talking about the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. It's a very high-tech organisation. But even that venerable group of scientists and engineers needs to stay on the cutting edge when it comes to new innovations. Now, virtual reality and augmented reality has, of course, proven fascinating to NASA. And a Melbourne-based VR creation team called Opaque Media Group have proven to be powerful collaborators with them. Now, Opaque recently visited NASA for the third time and showed off how their award-winning VR spacewalk simulator could be integrated into NASA's real-world training system. Emre Dennis is the director at Opaque Space. It's part of the Opaque Media Group. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. Now, look, this is not your first time over at NASA. I believe it's number three. When did you guys start working with them?
Well, I mean, we've been collaborating with NASA since early last year, and this marks the third time that we've visited NASA's laboratories. So we've done several trips to JSC and also to JPL. And this time around, we got our hands dirty at the Argos facility, and we managed to actually get to play our game inside of NASA's training simulations with the Active Response Gravity Offload System, Argos for short.
Argos, I love it. Now, hang on, just to back up a sec, the JPL, that's the Jet Propulsion Lab. That's what does all the cool kind of space stuff that we watch on TV?
Exactly right. So cool. JPL tends to focus more on controlling rovers and satellites and also managing communications and uplinks between essentially spacecraft and our ground control systems as well.
Now, Argos is where they simulate that kind of low-gravity environment or zero-gravity environment, right?
Yes, that's right. So they'll do astronaut training, they'll do suit tests, as well as essentially perform dry runs on missions that they would normally do on the ISS.
And so you got in there and you got your Earthlight VR, sort of basically it's a spacewalk simulator, and actually did it while in simulated zero gravity.
Yeah, so we did actually have the chance to do a bit of a world first. So as developers of our game, we managed to integrate our game, Earthlight, into the Argos system with the help of the Hybrid Reality Laboratory and play the game while suspended from the cables to simulate microgravity. And we also got to try NASA's own experiences in virtual reality as well and see how they mapped to our expectations in terms of game design and player experience as well.
And how did they stack up?
I would describe it as being so immersive that I kind of forgot that I was not on Earth anymore. So there's some incredible footage of me gliding around in the Argos system, essentially pretending that I was in space at that point.
It sounds amazing. And is that where NASA are focusing when it comes to, you know, mixed reality, sort of virtual reality and augmented reality? Are they looking at training or are they looking more at control schemes?
Yeah, so one of the exciting things that NASA's doing now, and NASA's always been working in virtual reality since the 1960s, but a relatively new division, the Hybrid Reality Laboratory, what they've been doing is looking at how astronaut training can be supplemented and augmented using VR kits that are readily available to consumers today. Hmm. So using things like the HTC Vive and motion map controllers, they're looking at how they can simulate different environments and different training situations using systems like Argos or even just, you know, normal day-to-day VR kits where they can have seated experiences and teach astronauts about their environments.
Because I imagine by NASA standards, what you can buy for the home these days, it's no money at all compared to what they've been having to build for themselves.
No, and that's exactly right. I mean, the advent of consumer-ready and I guess consumer-available virtual reality means that places like NASA and institutions that are interested in VR training and developing technology have access to almost an unlimited number of kits and also hardware support from giant global manufacturers like HTC.
Now, you mentioned that you called Earthlight a game. I've always thought of it as an experience, having given it a go myself. But, I mean, is there so much happening on the bleeding edge of VR game design that it's hard to... Is it surprising to you that NASA would have such an interest in what you thought of might be a home fun experience?
It's humbling more than surprising, I would say. And we do a lot of collaboration work with the Hybrid Reality Laboratory. And in a public statement they made following our trip, they're looking to integrate more of our game systems and in both technical nature and also the design principles into their own experiences. So what it's showing us is that VR is essentially, as an emerging industry, it's a level playing field for everybody. So that people are essentially collaborating and relying on each other's work in order to advance the ecosystem in a more collaborative nature.
Now, last year we had you on the show to talk to us a little bit about augmented reality when Pokemon Go started and everyone was obsessed with it. Yes. And everyone wanted to talk about augmented reality. But I'm interested, you mentioned JPL do a lot with drones and satellites. Could you see that augmented and virtual reality could provide control schemes for people to actually pilot these?
I'm so glad you actually asked that question, because JPL is already working with the Microsoft HoloLens order to do things like looking at how rovers can be controlled, as well as how their routes can be mapped on the surface of Mars. And on top of that, they're also looking at how they can actually integrate augmented reality into their engineering efforts as well, and how they can visualize rovers and drones and things like that inside of the HoloLens in augmented reality, which we had a chance to try in our last visit to JPL as well.
And was that exciting?
Seeing the one-to-one scale of the Mars 2020 rover was a profoundly amazing experience for me. I mean, seeing it in front of me, being able to walk around it and take it apart part by part was fantastic.
I hadn't even thought about that, but of course that augmented reality for people on space stations during spaceflight would actually have repair and engineering implications for maybe people not as skilled as they could be still being able to make repairs.
Exactly. So one of the amazing parts about augmented reality is that it helps drive down, the overheads of how they approach some of these missions in terms of the memory stress that is put onto an astronaut, and also the operational difficulties in trying to remember all the different procedures as well as access those things on the fly. So NASA's missions, especially in terms of maintenance, but also about troubleshooting, is very, very procedure-based. And having on-the-fly kind of information access to that is almost a critical component that they're interested in for the future.
Well, I'll tell you what, Emre, it's incredible. I love that hearing that Opaque is still such a major part of what NASA are working on. And I'll let you get back to recovering from your jet lag. I know you're only just back a couple of days ago.
Thanks so much, and thanks for having me on today as well.
Hey, thanks very much for chatting to us. That was Emre Dennis. He is the director of Opaque Space. They are working very closely with NASA, by the sounds of it, on a lot of various bits and pieces. And it all started with a game called Earthflight. And I do recommend, if you ever get a chance to have a go at it, do it. It's a lot of fun.